Hour number two of overtime. Jake Miller, Josh Stackhouse, Davis Rangy. One more hour on many of these fine fan-run affiliates. How would you like to go on vacation and come back with more money than what you went down to vacation with?
Always. Always. That would make my day.
That's only happened to me once.
It saved my life.
And it came from a drunken escapade through a casino on a cruise ship. Paid off the vacation and more with my winnings.
Atta boy. Big guy. Big dude.
The bad thing is I don't remember doing it.
Oh, gosh.
But you still know you did it. So
oh, I know
all
I did
that matters.
It.
And, if you know you did it, then you can create a story.
Oh, dude.
Nobody would call you a liar.
Woke up and I had a fat stack next to my bed, and I was like, what in the world? And buddy's like, yeah, dude, you went on a heater.
A heater.
God's plan.
The reason I say that is a Maryland man said a family vacation led him to the store where he bought a scratch-off lottery ticket and won $250,000. This 58-year-old man from Maryland told lottery officials he and his wife were vacationing in Ocean City when he made a stop at Acme on Coastal Highway in Ocean City, bought a $10, $250,000 Gold Rush scratch-off ticket, and quickly discovered he was top prize winner. He said he rushed to tell his wife about the turn of events. This was too exciting, he said. I had to wake her up and tell her I won. He previously scored a $10,000 prize from a racetrack's virtual horse racing game in 2021. This is light years beyond that win. The man said his latest winnings will go towards helping his adult children and boosting his retirement savings. Good for him.
Heck yeah. I mean, that's the best way to probably save it. Just spend it and save it, I mean.
Said it's a nice bonus. We are at a point in our lives where we are financially secure. This gives us more security. Good for him.
Good. Dude, that's a good place to be then. That's a good time to win. Like, have that extra.
Oh, when you're not just desperately.
Have to spend it immediately?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, if you were to win something like that, like, say you placed a dollar parlay and you win $1,000,000. It's the first thing you're doing. I know.
$1,000,000?
I'm paying off my house.
Yeah, I'm immediately paying bills, but. Immediately paying bills. Right now, fix my car. Probably buy some wheels for it as well.
Wait, you said a million or a quarter of a million?
A million.
Dude, I don't know. Y'all are talking about grown folks' issues. I don't have those yet. So
you're getting there. Best thing to do is plan ahead. Just go ahead and buy a house.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know where I want to live yet, but I'd probably just... I'd be smart for now and probably just invest it.
Well, tell you what, dude. There's a house that's like only 2 years old right down the road from me. You could just go ahead and buy that.
Nice. A little bachelor pad.
Yeah. Be right next to the community pool.
Again, not a community pool guy.
So, no joke. Like, having worked in the pool business for a minute now and like seeing what ours look like, when I go to a pool that is not very well constructed, I start nitpicking at everything that is wrong with it.
Just that guy now.
I'm like, oh, it's major like dad swag, I feel like. And I'm not even a dad. It's like, that's wrong. That's not supposed to be there. Where is this? Why isn't this working? What's wrong with this? That needs to get out of there.
How could you build something this just weak? Oh, this is embarrassing. Never on my job sites. Never.
No, like we literally would never build something like
that. Y'all make good pools. I've seen some of that work. It's beautiful work.
It's beautiful work.
Very impressed. I'm like, wow, you blow that whistle, Jake?
Pause.
Yeah, pause.
What? Dog, over it. Done with y'all. Y'all are weak. Weak.
No, first thing I'm doing, though, I'm paying off the house. Probably buying a truck. And the rest I'm probably putting into, I don't know, disperse it out. Maybe some crypto.
Crypto.
I'm a big crypto guy.
Just drop that in there. Probably some crypto. I love you, Jay. You just killed me.
Because I can't put it all into a Roth IRA at first because you can't put any more than like $8,000 into a Roth IRA per year.
Watch me. Like, break the rules. Watch me. Just they'll find it in there. Watch me.
No, like that. You literally can't. It's weird, but you can't do it.
I'm just lost now. I'm kind of...
You don't know what to do.
Yeah, I'm out of it. Did you see ESPN's top 100 list?
about to bring that up. Yeah. I did, and there are 14 quarterbacks ahead of Hundon.
13.
Still ridiculous.
Yeah.
13.
One of them's not even going to play this year.
Tell you what.
No way.
Davis.
Swear to God.
Did you do your other project?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I did. I've got a list. Yes. Note on Stack. My phone.
Take us to Stack's porch and read me that list.
Oh, okay. Welcome to Stack's porch. It's small. It's quaint. It's an apartment-sized townhome front porch.
It is a porch.
It is a porch. It sits nice, but only has room for one. But this list starts with, of course, Bryce Young being the first quarterback listed ahead of him. I guess I'll start with the 13 quarterbacks named ahead. Because that's really all that matters, because we know who, you know, we're here to talk about the disrespect we've been given. So the first two QBs known, they're known. It's Bryce Young and then C.J. Stroud. Then you got USC's Caleb Williams, Devin Leary, Sam Hartman, Tyler Van Dyke, Will Rogers, K.J. Jefferson, Will Levis, Grayson McCall, Stetson Bennett, Malik Cunningham, and Cameron Rising all apparently are better than our very own wonderful, amazing, just great quarterback in Hendon Hooker. All of those were ranked highly above, and if I'm correct, Hendon was, what was his ranking, Davis? Do you know offhand?
14.
No. No. This is the top 100 list.
Oh, you're talking about like in the SEC?
No. This list comes from ESPN's top 100.
Well, that should tell you everything you need to know about the list because it's ESPN.
Are you talking like the overall ranking, Stackhouse?
Yeah. Hold on. I got it right here.
No. I mean, that tells us everything that we need to know about this list.
So the top, they did put Spencer Rattler behind Hendon Hooker, though. He's not even ranked higher than him. So what you got is Hendon Hooker's down here. He was ranked. I think we had two Vols in the top 100, maybe.
Do you need it or no?
Nah. He's 49th.
Yeah.
He was ranked 49th, and Stetson Bennett is ranked just above him. Well, Cameron Rising was 48th. Malik Cunningham was 47th. And then Stetson Bennett was 44th. This is out of 100 players in college football, including D linemen, D tackles, every position. This isn't just quarterbacks.
Well, and this is why I hate these preseason rankings and these preseason polls and stuff like this, is because you really don't know what you've got until you get it on the field. I mean, yeah, it's easy to predict what Alabama's got, what Ohio State has, what Georgia's probably going to have, but we don't know yet because they're losing a lot. Then you have teams like Clemson, Texas A&M, Utah. Very overrated. Oklahoma, very overrated.
This is what they said about Hendon Hooker. They said, the Virginia Tech transfer blossomed last season under first-year Tennessee coach Josh Heupel. Although not the starter to open the season, Hooker started the final 11 games and emerged as one of the country's most efficient quarterbacks with 3,561 yards of total offense and just three interceptions. The 24-year-old redshirt senior returns as one of the most experienced quarterbacks in college football. Then you scroll up to Will Levis, and all they say about him is, he's big. Dude, it's just like, they don't even talk about his passing, man. They go, after being used primarily as a runner at Penn State, Levis enters his second season in Kentucky to be one of the top quarterbacks taken in the 2023 NFL draft. He's still a major threat to run the ball with his 6'3", 232-pound frame, but showed last season his 2,800 passing yards and 24 touchdowns. He's equally effective at beating teams with a strong arm, but they didn't say is what he had, 14 interceptions as well?
Yeah.
I just don't see how you can sit here and have one of the easily called most experienced quarterbacks in college football, which right. You know goes a long way in college football,
right.
Beyond measures, goes that far way in all of college sports. And combined with the yards he threw and the three interceptions, I don't understand how you can consistently sit here and try to say that he's not
a top 10 player.
If you're going to put K.J. Jefferson at 32, at least put Hendon Hooker at 31, considering that the statistical rankings last season, they were 1 and 2. You know, like if you're just ranking them them too.
Well, Suspended you know Hooker, why they're not ranking them high is because Arkansas and Tennessee are not sexy programs right now.
I mean, KJ is 32. I don't understand. I just don't understand Tyler Van Dyke in Miami. KJ's a good quarterback.
Yeah, I feel like the only top five you can go with in the country in terms of quarterbacks is obviously Bryce Young, CJ Stroud, and then I'd have it's Caleb Williams, KJ Jefferson, and Hendon Hooker. That's my top five. I don't know how you can go anywhere outside of that top five.
Ridiculous. I don't know how Caleb Williams is really.
You can't lie. He's good.
He is good, but.
You just want to prove it more.
It's just Oklahoma, dude. I don't know. Like, after a while, dog, like, it works, but it really doesn't. Like, look at Kyler Murray. Like, it works the whole first half of the season, and then when you get down to it, you can stop that. That whole, like, it's almost like, I don't want to call it chaos football. But the way, like, they're running around and.
Once you get into deep conference competition.
It's beautiful. If you can do it, it's beautiful. But it's just, it doesn't work. It just never really ever pans out.
No, the only person that was ever able to do it and do it effectively throughout the entire year was Tim Tebow. And that's because the spread was not what it is now.
He
got a national championship.
That's why I don't even think like Will Levis is like that's his most comparable person. Is he's just Tim Tebow with a lesser arm, and that definitely doesn't work anymore in this league because now I mean defenses are. That's our thing is if we can if we can just shut down running quarterbacks and just keep them contained because it really wasn't even about we just let them run three. It's just we didn't contain them. We never tackled them in the backfield.
No,
especially Matt Corral. It was the most annoying thing in the world watching him squirm out of places. It's just another slap in the face, but I hope we take all this as a team and I doubt they really pay any much attention to these lists anyway. I wouldn't either if I was a
no. I wouldn't either.
If I was a collegiate athlete playing for Tennessee, I don't think I'd give a
bleepity bleep.
Yeah, to any reporter. Honestly, dude, I'm a grown man out here playing on the field, dude. I don't care what you think, dude. You're writing on a pen and paper. I wouldn't care what I think either, honestly, dude. But that's how I hope our team thinks because I mean that's how you have to be if you want to be great. You got to know what you're about and do your job and you're good.
I mean they've done a pretty good job of that so far.
I'm just watching this game, dude. Like Kentucky sucks, God.
Yeah,
gonna murder this season, dude. Like I just do not. Oh my gosh, turn this game off, Jake.
Why turn it off? We win the game.
Because
we won the game.
I want to watch real football now.
That was real football.
I know.
But that was real football.
This is just a replay game. We're watching the Tennessee-Kentucky game in the background. Dude, I'm telling you, dog, this defense is going to be like 20 times better than the last year's defense, I think, consistently.
Yeah, this defense was on the field for 45 minutes during this game and won.
Last
night after I watched the Manti Te'o documentary, I had my juices flowing, and then I went onto YouTube. First thing that popped up was the Florida game from last year. I watched the whole first half, but Emory Jones killed us with his legs also.
You know what's funny is he didn't really have that many rushing yards.
No, but it was just, like, timely, like, he'd kill us in, like, timely, like, back-breaking, like, runs. But is he still at Florida? I forgot what happened to him.
Didn't no, he is not. Report? He transferred. I don't know where he went, but...
Man, dude. You know what? If you have doubts about this season, go back and just watch our games from last year.
Like, we're watching the Kentucky game right now.
Even the losses, man. Like, go back and watch that Pitt game, dude, and you'll see where we shot ourselves in the foot with just first-year things. Like, so many just first.
Stuff that's not going to happen this year.
Yeah, just... execution, discipline. It was just, you saw it. You saw the fight. You saw the never quit. You saw the always fighting to actually, make a stop. Sometimes, the play would break down because, again, first-year miscues.
Well, I mean, even during the Alabama game last year, take that for example.
God, we played them amazing. I don't...
Up till the fourth quarter, they did not quit. And that's when I really, of course, I was kind of bought in. I was full blown bought in by that point, but I solidified it. It's like, okay, we might have our guy.
There's just no way we take a step back. And,
no.
And there's just no way we stay stagnant.
No.
So there's only one way. It's just forward. That's my only thing. I just, boy.
Well, no, and the people that are writing the article saying, God. Oh, well, Tennessee, you know, they're not going to do anything like your Pat Fortys, your Dan Walkins, the idiots of the sports journalism world who probably never got the girls in high school.
We might dog
and this is their Florida. Way of taking it out on the world is just take it out on Tennessee fans because they're miserable lives. Like, that's what they want to happen. They want so bad for Tennessee to fail. But realistically, they don't have a clue as to what's going to happen this season.
God,
their jobs aren't to predict. Their jobs are just to report on what happened, and they try to make themselves to be more than what they are because that's just how they feel about themselves.
I mean, dude, they said
those are not grown men. Those are little boys that think way too highly of themselves.
They said Jabari Small's gotten bigger, tougher, stronger.
Was he 190 last year? He's up to 210 now?
210, 215, borderlining all the time.
Yeah, like, try to tackle that.
And then go along with Lynn J. Dixon's healthy the whole year, dude. Like, that's a 1-2 that's just so dangerous. And then you get the receivers. If Hyatt comes out here and just is a dog, like he says, like he's been talking, like he says he's bought in. It's just like another level. Like these, every kid seems to have taken another level, and they want what every fan has been dying for. And it, you'll, oh my Lord, boy, I'm telling you, dog, this defense is going to be some dogs, dude. They're going to be a scrappy little defense, man. It's going to be, that front seven is going to be, it's going to be mean, dude. It was mean last year. Like, you can't even say we weren't because we were ranked, it's like third and, what is that metric number? I don't know.
Something like that. This edition of Stack's Porch, brought to you by our friends at Linderman Sports Medicine down in Memphis. People are coming from all across Tennessee and beyond to get back in the game of life. That's Dr. Laura Linderman at Linderman Sports Medicine. Stay with us. Davis is going to have his segment coming up next right here on Fan Run Radio. Back here on Overtime and back to the Big Orange Phillies phone lines we go. Westchester is up next. What's up, Westchester? Westchester. There we go.
How we doing today?
Good.
Stacks Davis and Jake.
Yep.
Yes, sir. Cool. Living the dream, yeah. Honestly. Getting closer to actual dreaming.
Yes.
Had one of... Roberto was a little harsh when he called it the worst of my life. I've had much worse. I've had drunker calls.
What happened this morning?
I rolled out of bed and called 3 and out before I woke up because if you don't call before, like, you know, the start of the third hour, they just quit answering the phone because they're not caller focused.
So would you make out with anybody on 3 and out?
God.
For 12 and 0?
Yeah.
I'd make out with anybody at the station, probably two of y'all at the same time.
Heck yeah. Macking on dudes, dude.
The question is, would you make out with me for 12-0? I'm the ugly one in this occasion, this situation here.
Sure, why
not?
I'm
the variable.
I'm telling you.
Jake, if I win $1 million tomorrow on a lottery ticket, the first thing I'm doing is I'm going to find a veteran tax attorney. He's going to tell me what my tax bill is going to be down to the penny.
It's going to be $600,000, you're going to go home with about $643,000.
Yeah, it's about 34%.
Because the government hates you.
And I'm going to ask him to find me the best veteran group to donate that much to. I don't have to give it back to the government.
You want me to tell you who to donate it to?
Which one?
Donate it to VetTix for one, because they make sure that veterans get into sporting events, concerts, shows, all that for free. They are a great organization. I love them. I donate to them myself. So
I've heard you rep them before. Yeah. But yeah, and then I'm going to once I get that square, because you know you don't want to Brewster's millions in the way here. So you got to make sure that you got that part taken care of. Then I'm buying a cheap house.
Yeah.
You know, not that you can buy a cheap house anymore. Maybe I'll have my buddy build me one. I don't know.
Well, I mean, I can build you one.
No, I want it to stand up when the wind blows.
Oh, it'll stand up.
At least it lasts for a month.
It might not stand up, but the pool will be intact. The pool will be 100% intact.
Yeah, I grew up with a pool and a humble brag there, but yeah, there's nothing like having a pool in your backyard. That's a lot of fun. Also kept me out of trouble sometimes when I'd stay out all night. That's the trick for all your high school kids that happen to have access to a pool. It's amazing how many times my parents would wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning and I'd be outside swimming laps in the pool first thing in the morning.
Yeah, backyard pools do it for me, man.
I hadn't been to bed yet, but that chlorine hides a lot of problems.
Yes, it does. Better than the lake water does. I'll say that.
Yep. Let's see. What else were we talking about here?
Talking about Manti Te'o. We've talked a little bit of everything.
Today. From work. I'm still at my first beer, so bear with me here for about another 20 seconds.
Oh, you're good,
but,
man.
Kentucky, huh? They're still. Oh, I don't know what to ask you. Who are the four, excluding us, because, you know, we can't lose to ourselves.
Right.
Most of the time. We can call the game up, but we can't lose to ourselves. Who are the, I think we all agree on who the four teams you absolutely positively have to beat in conference every year are, right? It's
Mizzou, Vanderbilt, Kentucky, South Carolina.
Right. If we beat, and I've said this before, and I'm going to keep beating this drum because I'm so sick of hearing about it. If we lose to any one of them and beat Florida, have we accomplished anything?
No.
Exactly.
No. No, absolutely not. We saw the downside of that Westchester in 2016. You know, you beat Florida, you beat Georgia. You're 5-0 going into Texas A&M. You lose to A&M. Nobody was mad about that. Nobody's mad about Alabama. As soon as you lost to South Carolina,
Things
started to turn. And then when you lost to Vanderbilt, you should have fired Butch Jones then.
Yeah. You got to crawl before you walk. So learn how to crawl and learn how to crawl out of that cellar we're in, and then we'll worry about the next three, which is from bottom to top is Florida, Georgia.
I'm worried about Alabama. Florida this year. I'm worried about Georgia this year. I'm worrying about them. I'm going.
There's no reason to worry. They're losses. Quit worrying.
Florida's not a loss. We're going dog walk Florida.
So how late are you going to be up crying after that game?
Listen, if that happens,
I'll be like Will Levis crying in front of everybody.
I'll personally cry my way over to your house and apologize to you. But if it happens the other way, I better hear the happiest Westchester I've ever heard in my entire life on Monday.
You won't. You won't.
Oh, but I won't.
Oh, Westchester, if we beat Florida, because I'm calling right now.
If we dog walk Florida.
Westchester, if they have one injury, Tennessee is winning that game 45-10. And when you call in that Monday, I want you to be happier than you've ever been. And I want to look at you and say, I told you so. Because it's
right, and then I'm going to give you the same I told you so when we lose to Kentucky.
Wait, but you're saying we're going
to
lose to Kentucky?
But Heupel hasn't lost to South Carolina, Kentucky, or Missouri, or Vanderbilt. He beat those four last year, so now we should be focused on Florida.
We got to beat him consistently every year.
He dog walked him last year. I'm pretty sure he made a statement. He's good.
You just agreed with me that if we beat Florida and lose to any one of them, because that's what Tennessee does, and that's what happens.
Nah,
and it doesn't matter.
But if that happens,
we're not going to lose to any of those teams.
I'll come shake your hand and cry in my pouty crying face.
The thing is, you're not going to have to do that.
I know. I know. That's why I'm so confident.
Houston came scarily close to understanding where I'm coming from this morning without even trying to. Hold on. Without even trying to, and just using his own words and talking after I'd hung up, like an hour later. And he's like, we should have beat Pitt last year. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, we should have. Okay.
I mean, realistically, Westchester, we should have went 9-3 last year.
We should have done a lot of things since 1998 that haven't happened. We should have beat LSU in 2001. We should not have a current four losses to Kentucky. We shouldn't do a lot of things, but the ball don't bounce our way since the Cerner fumble. That was our last gift, and somehow this has taken us this long. And we're still paying it.
But
back.
We replaced all
I'll take,
that.
I'll
this
go
is
one step
all
further.
New carpet.
Our last gift was in 04 when we went to the SEC Championship, and that does not happen if Dallas Baker doesn't react to Jonathan Wade's slap.
You might be right on that. You might be right on that.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, things we're a great could have school and should have school. You know, we would have won state if coach put me in. I mean, you know, we're close to that guy from crap, what's the name of that movie? Napoleon Dynamite, the brother. Yeah. Uncle Rico. We don't want state if coach put my hand. Look, it's just things don't bounce our way. I don't know what the, you know, like I said many, many a time, I'm going to die on this hill. It's a government experiment to see how much one fan base can take.
You won't have to die on that hill after this year. You're going to be so happy.
You'll be running up that hill.
We've replaced this carpet with memory foam. This house is built now well and sturdy.
I would not want memory foam padding underneath my carpet.
Dude, what? Oh my God, my buddy just put it in his house. Gorgeous. Best thing I've ever stepped on.
Stacks, are you 8-4 or 9-3?
9-3.
Realistically,
9-3.
8-4 is my floor. I'm telling you, when I look at the team.
Who are your four?
Who am I four?
Yeah.
If we went 8-4, it would probably be, so it'd be LSU, Alabama, Georgia, and then my fourth one.
Pitt.
Florida.
No, it probably.
Florida.
It better be Pitt. It better be Pitt, according to what, you know, everything you're saying, right?
No, I'd probably throw it at Kentucky.
Oh!
What?
But I don't think we go 8-4, though.
Westchester, that's look what you've
floor.
Done to my show.
No,
look what you've
no,
done to
that's
my
show. Floor. Like, I don't think that's not my take. My take is we're 9-3 and we dog walk Florida and Kentucky. When I look at this team, dude, there's no way we take a step back. I think we're at least better. If we're what we were last year, we're a better team than we were last year because that whole first half of the season, you can see the team we have, man. We have a defense. We have a shell. We don't have the same AD. We didn't rehire our old shag carpet AD and Philip Fulmer. We have a whole new. It's not the same. I think we finally did something right to shake all these other, the things that have been making this whole 10, 15, 20 years of just shame.
When I see the defense make an adjustment and have healthy bodies out there that know how to contain a quarterback and not give up third and Chavis to a quarterback that's just running for his life because our linebackers and ends can't contain. When I see that improve, I'll have a lot more faith in our defense. And I'll have a lot more faith in this team. But there's still a lot of questions out there. Our defense had a lot of problems last year, and we're just hoping that these players that are healthy now, we're hoping that they stay healthy. We're hoping that they improve and that they can do what everyone thinks they can do. I mean, there's a lot of. If ifs and buts and candy and nuts, we'd all have a Merry Christmas.
You said 6-6, man. That's so sad. You can't go that deep. You got to go at least a bottom of 7. There's no way we take less than 7.
If we weren't Tennessee, absolutely. Oh. But you're forgetting the Tennessee factor in all this, Zach. That's what I'm trying to teach you and educate
you. No, I understand
people
that.
On.
But I'm trying to tell you that this is the first year you can actually feel that you've shaken that feeling. Like that none of this current football team has anything to do with that pass. That 2016.
If we go 8-4, which one of us is going to be more happy?
You probably.
Right.
I guess, but honestly, I'd probably still be happy because Ohio State's winning the national championship this year, and I'm going to be a happy guy. So
no one cares about the Buckeyes.
Well, I always get that to fall back into.
Are you a FIFO?
What is that? A fake
AFL?
FIFO? No.
No, FIFO. Are you from Ohio?
No, my dad was born in Cleveland. I just raised to like the Buckeyes and the Browns, yeah. So, I mean, I get like both ends of the whole turmoil. I've lived a harder life than most would say of all has being a Browns fan, but
I grew up a Seagulls fan where we watched team crap all over the field.
Like the birds? You just watch birds on the I'm just playing with you.
That's why I can't pronounce that other city that we're playing correctly because I just refuse to. And Crapsburg is as nice as I can be about it. But I can count on my one hand the amount of times I've said that city by its given name.
So. Yeah, me too.
Anyway.
They don't have good cheesesteaks there.
I do bet we're both happy by the end of this season, though.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I'd love to be happy.
And I want that Monday happy call.
You'll get it after Kentucky.
Okay, I'll take it then, too. I might just get 2 or 3 from you.
All right. Love you guys. Be good.
Appreciate it, buddy. Let's keep it rolling. Go to Martin. Good evening, Martin.
Good evening, Jake. Jake, what type of team should we have on JP Estrada?
I think that, really, Martin, I think it's anybody's game right now. I mean, we thought that, you know, who's the guy we just got? Jordan Matthews. Everyone thought that he was a complete lock to Texas, and that fell through, and then we get him because he was a 92% lock there, you know, on the football standpoint. As far as JP Estrella, I think we're in the running. I don't know if you can set it in stone that we're going to get him yet, but I think that there's a good chance that we do.
Yes.
Crystal balled to Iowa right now.
Oh, I wouldn't like that at all.
Wow. And, Jake, I hate to tell you, but we need some linebackers bad.
That we do, Martin. That we do. And, you know, I'm seeing, you know, of course, all these defensive backs coming in. We got a few linebackers coming in. You know, we got the Herring kid coming in. He's going to make an impact, but that's not until next year, and then he's going to need a year or two to develop. You know, Martin, I think that's probably going to be our one area of weakness this year, is at linebacker. I keep flip-flopping. Go ahead.
Do you think in the portal next year we'll go after some linebackers?
I think so, and one of the things that's still being used against us, Martin, is the fact that we have this NCAA investigation still going on, and we've yet to be handed down the sanctions. I think that Tennessee's probably going to respond to those soon if they haven't already. But once all that's over and done with, Martin, I think that we're going to raid that transfer portal hard, and I think you're going to start seeing more top-tier commits committing more than what we already have.
Yes.
And, Martin, I've got a nugget for you, Martin, that someone dropped on me today.
What is it?
That Francis Maungioa might be decommitting from Miami.
No way.
Yes.
Wait, what? Swear. Boy, I said it last week, boy. I said
and Jake?
Yes, sir.
What I heard on Estrella was that he said he really liked Coach Barnes because the culture, too, like Kate Phillips said.
Uh-huh.
And he said, if you work real hard, he said, if I work real hard, he said, I know I got a chance of going to the NBA under Barnes.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure Francis.
What Estrella said.
I think that's what he said, and I'm pretty sure that's what DeLeon, the guy that we got yesterday, I'm pretty sure he said something along those same lines, is that if you play hard under Rick Barnes, that you are going to make it to the NBA.
I don't believe it's over with Estrella. I wouldn't count us out yet.
I don't think we're out of it yet. I think we're still in it.
Yes, and we need a center. We need a power forward to go with a big boy we got out of South Carolina last year.
That we do. And yes. Jonas Adu, I'm ready for him to step up this year too, Martin. I think we're going to see a breakout year for him and see what he's really made of. We've already seen bits and pieces of it, but I'm really excited to see what he can do.
Yes. And did you see where LeBron James got the big contract from the Lakers?
2 years, $97 million. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah, I saw that this morning.
Yes. All right, I appreciate you, Jake.
Appreciate you, Martin.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye. Stay with us. Final segment of Overtime. Davis is going to run down a list of abandoned stadiums. Stadiums that were once glorified. There's a ton of them. We saw a ton of them before the show. And just some of these that are in disrepair will blow your mind knowing what they used to be. Stay with us. Final segment of Overtime coming up right here on Fan Run Radio. Final segment of Overtime brought to you by our friends at Maripex Apparel. Go online to maripex.com. Use the code FANRUN in all caps. Receive 20% off of your order. Davis, what you got for me, bud?
All right. So first I want to kind of just start off local in our East Tennessee area. I wanted to start off with the East Tennessee State Mini Dome that hosted ETSU football up until 2003.
Well done, Davis. Starting off with a bang.
Yeah. And,
that's a good statement, though.
They also hosted the men's and women's basketball up until 2014, and it's still in use a little bit today. They hosted an indoor track meet that I did up there a few years ago, but it's just kind of a unique stadium, I thought, because it was indoor and it's a dome, and it just kind of has that a unique feeling when you walk into it.
I'm looking at the stadium now. It's pretty. It is a dope stadium, though. That's crazy they don't use that anymore. It is small, though. I get why.
Okay. And then my second one I went with, so the Gator Bowl down in Jacksonville, they tore that down in 1994. That was where it's now TIA Bank Field, where the Jaguars play. But they hosted the annual rivalry of Florida and Georgia every year up until 1994.
Did not know that. Because, oh, fun fact. The Tennessee and Virginia Tech Gator Bowl game from Peyton's freshman year, it had to be played at Ben Hill Griffith because that stadium had been tore down and they didn't have the host site for it.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting because I had no idea.
That's
that,
crazy.
Yeah.
That's pretty, yeah.
I didn't know they tore it down. And then this next one's kind of off the wall, but the Hubert Metronome. The Minnesota Golden Gophers row the boat. They played there up until 1984, and they finally tore it down and built the stadium that they play in today.
Dang, that's a nice stadium. That's massive, dude.
I know. And then my next one was the Rubber Bowl that we talked about yesterday, but it just kind of had that. It was one of those cool stadiums where they built it into the sides, and then they finally closed it in 2008. And we talked about yesterday how they're never actually able to demolish it because it interferes with the highway nearby. So it's just kind of crumbling. And there's, if you want to go look it up, there's YouTube videos. People.
Oh, if you want to go to it, you can just go to it. I mean, that's the thing.
It's abandoned. Yeah.
Yeah, you can just walk right on the field. The field, the turf is still in place.
I wonder how gross that turf is. I wonder how many people peed on that turf.
Oh, my God. Can't say that.
Why?
You can't say that.
It's wild. Wild. My bad.
Oh, man. What? What's next?
Okay, next one's probably the worst one, in my opinion, on the list. The Orange Bowl in Miami. When they demolished that in 2008, you know, that was a stadium, historic, iconic stadium, I thought. I mean, I was too young to even remember the games that being played there, but I mean, I still hear people to this day talk about that Tennessee versus Miami game in 2003 and how good of an atmosphere it was. And now today they moved the stadium. It's about 30 minutes from campus and they can't get anyone to even go to the games. So I think that one might be the worst one on the list.
Yeah, for sure. You can't get anybody to go to the games, man. Yeah, that's probably the worst.
And, okay, and then the next one is in San Diego. It's where San Diego State played Qualcomm Stadium.
Yep.
When they decided to move the Chargers and San Diego State decided to just go ahead and build a new stadium. And they demolished that just last year, but I thought that was kind of low down considering I thought it was a nice stadium and just kind of up and moved and all of a sudden.
This is where the Chargers played?
Yeah, dude. Yeah. They have basically.
They tore that stadium down already?
They've just tore it down. I think the only team left in San Diego, well, probably the Padres.
That's crazy, dude. I love San Diego, though. That's like my least favorite downfall. I didn't really like St. Louis going to L.A. too much, but I understood it.
Well, their stadium's still in use.
Yeah. Well, yeah. But, oh, man. I like San Diego Stadium. I thought it fit them. I just thought the Chargers fit that. The name fit.
Well, the thing is, San Diego State was using it as well.
Really? But they made them a whole new stadium, is what you said, Davis.
Yeah, they're on a new stadium.
I'll take a new stadium over an old stadium sometimes almost any day, but depending on the stadium, and, like, San Diego Stadium doesn't have, like, that much history, let's be honest. It'd be different if it was, like, Neyland. Take Neyland over a new stadium any day probably, too. Like, updated. Yeah. Like, they fix the trough bathrooms.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know, I just thought it was kind of crazy because San Diego's only, like, an hour from L.A., so I don't know, the whole move doesn't make sense, but I guess I got a new stadium out of it. And then the next one on the list is Legion Field. I believe UAB played there, and the Iron Bowl used to be played there every year, and Samford used to play there also for about 30 years, and now it only houses a USFL team, which is to be announced, according to Wikipedia. So, you know, that housed some historic Iron Bowl games.
And it doesn't say what USFL team.
Yeah. That's now crazy. It's just kind of vacant.
Yeah, that's... That sucks. That's just such a big piece of just architecture just unused. I mean, that's just crazy that some of these fields just go unused. They don't let no high school people use it, nothing. Like, just get to a high school, like, just a high school field. Like, let them all use it for a jamboree or something. There's just no way you have nothing to do with it.
And I don't know if y'all have been down there, but it's not in the greatest part of Birmingham. So that might have had to play a part into it. Okay, and then next one is the Astrodome. I know that's kind of – I didn't think any college football team ever played there, but it says that the Houston Cougars played there from 1965 to 1997, so I thought that was interesting.
Well, the thing about that stadium is they can't tear it down.
Like, why?
They shut it down because of codes, but the thing is it's right next to Reliant Stadium. And if they tear it down, they're afraid that it might impact the structure of the new stadium.
That's funny. It doesn't seem too bad still. Seems pretty clean still. Do they use it for anything at all?
No, they can't. That's why it's in...
Oh, because of codes. Yeah, my bad. Sorry.
And then final one on there is the Cotton Bowl. SMU played there for 67 years from 1932 to 1999. Now it is currently only being used for the annual Red River Shootout.
That's the thing, is like you can do bowl games there and generate more money for that stadium, but that is the only game that is played there. That's incredible.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Westchester. I did not know that. My bad. The third Saturday in October is played on Legion Field.
Used to be, not now. Another one, Davis, was that the list?
Yeah, that's it.
So there's actually one close to home for USTAC where the Nashville Sounds used to play.
Yeah.
It's still standing.
Really?
It is still standing.
Why do I remember them tearing that stadium down, though?
The one with the
guitar scoreboard and all that stuff, dude?
Yeah.
Man.
Dude, that place has been overrun with vandals so bad. Like, the one time they went out to look at it, the glass had been shattered out of the press boxes, graffiti everywhere. Like,
that's some Nashville, baby, dude. Make it home.
So that one's completely in disrepair. There's actually one, the Washington Coliseum. Used to house concerts and stuff like that. Just as they were about to start demolition, they stopped it and declared it a national monument or whatever, a historic landmark. So they had to keep using it. So now it is just like a parking garage. Just one big parking garage.
Dude, you should probably find ways to refurbish some of these fields if you can't tear them down. The one, the Akron one, still blows my mind that they haven't just tried to reconfigure the highway. Like, do something.
Yeah, that one's just weird.
Or just just put some pillars up and then take it down. Like, I don't know. I feel like there's a pretty easy fix there, unless I'm also not an engineer. I ain't doing all that math with letters and such, so that ain't me, boy.
Oh, so the one I just told you about that got turned into a giant parking garage.
Mm-hmm.
It's no longer a parking garage.
What is it now? I hope it's a rave center.
An REI.
That's dope. Oh, my gosh. Dude, and they still have some carabiner?
Well, the thing is, like, they did take some of the old seats from the original Coliseum and put them on the wall as decorations.
That's cute. We'll leave it up to REI to refurbish something old and make it new. Because that's what REI people do, right?
Yeah.
I worked at Sun and Ski. I'm not an REI fan. Sun and Ski over REI. That's what I always said at the job. The old 9-to-5, fresh out of high school. Selling outdoor equipment and granola stuff to granola people.
You know, that's a store I go in and I can never buy anything when I'm in there.
Dude, I was like a professional Chaco salesman that working there. Like I could tell you all about Chaco, lifetime warranty, all sorts of things. Dude, professional Chaco, man.
So if my Chacos get stolen, are they covered under the warranty?
I don't know about stolen. I didn't call. I don't really care that much. I just wanted to sell them to people.
Because when someone broke into my car, they literally stole one of my Chacos.
Yeah, you probably make a claim for it. They'll probably give you a new pair.
They stole
100%.
They literally stole one Chaco.
Yeah, make a call. I promise you. Dude, they're super easy people to work with. They are nice, though. You send them in your shoe, like if they rip them up or whatever, they'll try to fix it. If they can't fix it, send you just a new pair. Super easy company to work with, but yeah, I used to like adjust the straps on people's feet, fit them to people's feet and stuff like that, dog.
Weren't you like the number one Chaco salesman in America?
I was the number one salesman in the nation for Sun and Ski twice out of my time there, and second and third a bunch of other times. Boy, I could sell snowboards, anything, Chacos, all sorts of stuff. Dude, I love that job, though. It was really fun. It's a great job. I sold Yetis, dog. I sold the biggest Yeti they make, like the $1,400 one, to a food truck, dog, in Nashville. Burned him for commission, dog. Loved that. Loved that. Dude, that job was great. Don't mess with no REI over here, dog. Texas base.
Are you kidding me? You sold the $1,400 Yeti cooler.
Yeah, 30% commission too. It's
great. Overrated, by the way.
Oh yeah,
is that like the big giant one that's like
if you could lay down in it, you'd fit. It's
probably my coffin.
Yeah, it's super dope. It's basically a coffin, yeah, but holds ice up to 48 hours solid.
My Arctic that I took to the beach.
It's technologies.
It kept ice for 4 days.
Yeah, and all those companies are just mad that Yeti got there first and they could set the market price, and that's what they did.
Yeah, but Arctic is literally half the price.
And guess who still buys that big name brand Yeti?
Not me.
Fools!
And there's a reason I don't buy it.
I actually think I'd probably still buy Yeti. I think the name just makes me want to buy it, and the design, and that teal foam green or whatever they use. Ugh!
Seafoam green.
Yeah, seafoam green. It's a sick, cooler color. It makes the wife happy. Makes you happy because it's Arctic. Not too soft. You're like,
I'm an Arctic guy.
Yeah. Cooler's a cooler. I'm a Igloo dude. I'm a Walmart $5.99.
You know what's bad is
I fit a six pack in this and be good?
Zach, when you and Davis come over to my house, you're going to be just looking at me like, what is wrong with this guy? Anytime I go to a yard sale, I always come out with a cooler.
Really?
For whatever reason. If I see a cooler and it's a dollar, I'm just buying it.
I don't know.
I mean, coolers are good to stock up on because you never know when you need it.
Yeah, you really don't because you really need them in the weirdest times. Like, you'd buy the styrofoam coolers when you don't have one. I used to do that all the time. Well,
my thing, too, is like, you know, if you don't have a parking pass to park, like, within walking distance to the stadium and tailgate on site.
You need wheels.
You need wheels. I'm not lugging my Arctic cooler up and down Cumberland. That ain't happening.
No, I've done the big Yeti, the big Yogi haul.
Because I do the deal where you park on State Street because it's free.
Yeah.
And I used to catch the trolley for like $5. They went up to $6, and it made me mad. So I just walked it over a dollar.
That's the only part I miss about living in the fort.
Dude, the worst thing that happened there. I had a new pair of Sperry's that weren't broken in yet. My heels hurt so bad because they had rubbed them raw. Like, I could basically look at my Achilles by the time I was done for the day.
I haven't worn a pair of Sperry's in forever. I hated that heel thing. That's why I stopped wearing Vans, too.
I don't do that because of the cloth. The leather.
They rub my heel. No matter what you got to wear, like, the weirdest socks with Vans.
I don't wear
and stuff
socks.
Like that. Again, weird.
I don't wear socks.
With shoes?
With Sperry's.
Oh, I can't wear closed-toed shoes without socks. I think that's gross. But, talking about sweaty feet. Well,
yeah, but the thing is, it's a boat shoe. Nasty. You don't wear socks on a boat, so why would you wear them with a boat shoe?
I wear socks to the boat and take them off when I get on. Ooh, I did it all throughout high school, brother. It was the look. Sperry's and Elite socks. Swag goo.
I turned a guy away in our fraternity once. He wanted a bed, and I turned him away because he had socks on with his Sperry's.
Yeah? Yeah. I'd make fun of you, Jake, if you turned me away. I just start bullying you.
And then you'd have about 50 other people right behind me.
And I'd be making fun of all of them, too.
And we'd just be standing there looking around like, what is going on? That's going to do it for us. Thank you, Davis.
Thank you.
Thanks, Stack.
thank you too.
Something else coming up next right here on WKGN. Tune in tomorrow morning, 7 o'clock for 3 and Out. Hopefully no more making out. Right here on Fan Run Radio.